We all need love in our lives. In fact, we need it from the moment we're born, because love brings us security, a sense of belonging, and an indescribable and glorious joy. Without love, we can't enjoy our lives. What a pity that so many of us go looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages called All You Need Is Love. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our newest life application booklet, The Power of Love, that I'd love to send you to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. Hey, it's great to be with you at the start of a new week. And today we're kicking off a two-week exploration of a subject that, well, it seems that 90% of the songs written in my lifetime are about this very thing. Love, or as they normally sing it, love. And my hunch is that the Beatles, to a great extent, had it right when they sang, "All you need is love." From the moment we're born, we need love, both in a physical sense. I mean, without parents who'd love us to sacrifice for us, we'd perish within just a few hours. And in an emotional sense, we need to belong to a family, to a community, to a team. That need to belong is maybe the strongest manifestation of our need for love. And if you think about the great joys and the great tragedies that you've experienced in your life so far, my hunch is that love, people who loved us, people who should have loved us, people whom we loved or failed to love, have stood at the center of both the heights and the lows in our lives. Sadly, we live in a world where love, or more to the point, the lack of it, is killing people. And if it's not killing them, then it's robbing them of a fantastic life. Let me give you just one example. Australia, despite internationally having an image of this rugged outback nation, is actually one of the most urbanised countries in the world. 90% of us live along a narrow coastal strip that runs south from Brisbane along the east coast down around to Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide. And in the cities, fully one-third of all households are single-person households. Many people are lonely. Many people are unloved. And so I wonder what goes through your heart and your mind when you hear that old Beatles classic, "All You Need Is Love," playing on the radio. I wonder whether it brings great joy to your heart knowing that you're deeply, securely, safely loved, or whether it just serves to highlight the pain, the regret, the shattered hopes and dreams. Well, may they sing, "All You Need Is Love." The question is, where do you get it? And despite the lyrics of the song that tell us, and I quote, "It's easy," anyone who's had anything to do with this thing they call love will tell you that it's anything but. I mean, on the one hand, we're wired to love and to want to be loved, and so we draw close to people, man and woman, parent and child, friends, dear friends, and yet the closer we draw to them, the more vulnerable we become, because love is about letting people in. Love is about intimacy and openness and transparency. Which is why the more we love someone, the more they can hurt us. And that's so often what happens. It seems that one imperfect person can't love and be loved by another imperfect person without both of them getting hurt on a regular basis. When we open ourselves up to the imperfections of one another, it's going to hurt. And you know, as I look at the enormous love that God shows for us through Jesus, never is this truth more true than on that cross. It cost God so much to love us, because I am that imperfect person. You are that imperfect person. And he loved us with an infinite love that ultimately cost him the life of his son in order to bring us close to him again, back where we belong. Love and pain, my friend, are two sides of the one coin. So here's where I'm coming from. At the beginning of this year, I began to pray for you and the many other people who will listen to this program around the world each week, that this year wouldn't be a year yet again of unfulfilled promises of happiness, but that this year would be the year when you discover unspeakable joy. Have a listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. "Although you haven't seen him," that's Jesus, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And that indescribable and glorious joy has everything, absolutely everything, to do with the love of Jesus. Although you haven't seen him, you love him. Love lies at the heart of joy. Without love, there can be no joy. I spent much of my life searching for happiness in this trinket or that bauble, things that the world would dangle under my nose, things that promised so much. And yet each time I grabbed onto them, any happiness they contained evaporated almost instantly because I was looking for happiness in things. That's how it is with happiness. It depends entirely on our circumstances, which is why so many people, including, let me say, quite a number who believe in Jesus with all their hearts, are so unhappy. They grumble and complain over their circumstances. They're often overcome by a negative outlook on life, even though they love Jesus. Why? Because they're searching for happiness in the midst of their circumstances, but rarely do they find it there because there's always someone or something to rob us of happiness. And the disappointment of the unfulfilled promise of happiness makes unhappiness even worse. Joy, on the other hand, is something completely different because it has nothing whatsoever to do with our circumstances. It depends totally on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who came to this earth to suffer and to die for me and for you so that we can have a deep, perfect, loving relationship with God. And whilst this is still the truth that lies at the heart of the gospel, the good news, and that's what the word gospel literally means, good news, for some reason we are so thoroughly predisposed to missing it. Here is the Apostle John writing ostensibly to a dear lady, but many think he's writing to a church under persecution. Have a listen to what he says about joy and love, how they're linked in the truth. 2 John verses 4 to 6. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard it from the beginning, you must walk in it. See, the truth and love are intrinsically linked. And here John's talking about love in two ways, loving each other, and the fact that loving God is about walking in his ways and in his commandments. Now, this is not a particularly popular message these days, because what it's saying is that in order for us to experience real love, we need to do it according to God's ways and according to God's truth. And a lot of people, me included, let me say, for a great part of my life, shy away from that whole idea of truth and commandments. It's countercultural. It appears to be oppressive, doesn't it? Love on God's terms. Well, no, I want love on my terms. So let me ask you, how well has that been working for you so far? Because the way that you and I want to love is in a selfish way. Oh, we need love, all right. But not this fantasy the singers dangle under our noses in their songs. Not love. No, we need the real thing, the sort of love that really makes a difference. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. You see, God is love. He loved us perfectly through Jesus, his Son. He gave up Jesus' life so that we could be one with him. And we know that love because we dwell in God. That's the sort of love we need. Not the world's love, perfect love. We all have things in us that aren't what they should be. Perhaps that's why the self-help and motivation industries are worth multiple billions of dollars the world over. But none of those things even begin to compare to the power of God's love in transforming our lives for the better. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love, and it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow. with a different perspective.